Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. On today's show, we'll check in with the Patriot Guard, get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and their efforts to prevent veteran homelessness, and then we'll meet the commander of Chapter 48-4, Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
When people think about the military, they often think about service members deployed overseas. What is unique about the National Guard is their additional roles. During Super Bowl 52, more than 450 soldiers and airmen supported security operations and law enforcement agencies. In 2017, more than 110 Minnesota soldiers and airmen were activated for hurricane relief efforts in Texas, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In June of 2017, the Minnesota National Guard supported the Minnesota State Patrol on locating three missing paddlers in the Boundary Waters canoe area. Also, in December of 2017, we opened our armories to several communities to shelter Minnesotans during extreme cold weather. With a force of more than 13,000 strong, we are proud to serve the great state of Minnesota and our nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Calling in from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Doug. It's always an honor.
Tim, it's great to have you on the show again. We love talking to you, you know, every month or so. And, you know, just checking to see how things are going with the Patriot Guard. The first thing I'd like to do as we start things off here is ask you, how was your 4th of July?
Oh, great. Great. We got to go to a lot of events, and just we always want to make sure that the military knows that there are people out here that really appreciate them.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely right. Of course, we appreciate our military, and, you know, especially around the 4th of July time. I mean, 248 years of celebrating independence and our freedoms and liberty. It must be kind of special that time of year to be able to be out and supporting our military, our service members, and their families for the different events that you do.
Well, it is, you know, and it's not even every day you can – you know, thank a soldier or military for what they're doing. You know, they're sacrificing time out of their lives. And it doesn't have to be a special occasion. Of course, 4th of July it is, but, you know, if you see somebody in the store, if you see somebody walking down the street, just say, you know, thank you for your service. And that includes our first responders, too.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Of course, you know, there's Veterans Day and Armed Forces Services Day, you know, 4th of July. And, you know, I think one of the big things that a lot of our military kind of struggle with is when someone says, thanks for your service, they don't know what to say back. And, you know, one of the things, I had a conversation with General Joe Votel, and I actually asked him that question, and his response, which I think is just fantastic, is when someone says thanks for your service, he responds with, you're worth it. And I think that's really the sentiment of all of our service members, those who raise their hand to take that oath and protect and to serve. They did it because this country's worth it and the citizens of the United States are worth it.
It is.
So, Tim, we've got just a minute or so, a minute and a half, and I want to make sure we talk some more about the Patriot Guard. And, you know, it's summertime. I would assume you've got some events kind of stacking up and different things that you're doing. So if you've got any event updates you'd like to share, please do that. And then I do want to make sure we get to the opportunity of telling our listening audience how they can get involved with the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Yeah, well, there's always events going on. They change daily. We have a calendar at mnpatriotguard.org, and if on the go, just go on the website and look up on the calendar, and it gives you all the events. And you can pick and choose anything you want to come to. Anything you come to is greatly appreciated. All you need is a 3x5 flag. We have military funerals that we attend. You know that are. You know, they're not awesome that it's a funeral, but it's awesome to be there, you know, in support of the families. And the families appreciate it to the point where they'll come around and say thank you. And we don't need the thank you, but it's like the military when they deserve it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, so tell us again the website.
The website is mnpatriotguard.org.
And our audience can go to that website. There's going to be information there for them to sign up if they'd like to get involved, to get that email when those events are taking place in their area, so that they can kind of pick and choose, like you were talking about, and do something that fits into their own personal calendar.
Yes. We don't want intrusive. Getting there, you don't have to have a motorcycle. Well, all we need is to show up.
Yeah.
So in the wintertime, none of us ride a motorcycle.
Well, maybe this past winter you had some opportunity, but that's a conversation for another time. Tim, hey, we just appreciate you all of what you and the other Patriot Guard members do, supporting our military, their families, our fallen service members. Thank you so much, and we appreciate you joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, and they are worth it.
All right, Tim, thanks. That's Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Now, joining me in the studio from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Allie Keir and Nora Cronin. Allie and Nora both serve as Senior Homeless Programs Coordinators for the Veterans Stable Housing Initiatives Program. Allie, Nora, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Great to have you in. We've got just kind of the way we set this segment up here. I've got just a couple of minutes with you to begin with, and then we'll come back and really get in the meat of things. But in the little bit of time we have before we go to break, I'll start with you, Allie. Tell us a little bit about you, where you came from, and what led you to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, glad to. Thank you again for having us. So I grew up in Washington, D.C., as a youth of a veteran and government employee, and I have served as a private contractor for military social services through my life, but also recognizing that not everybody has a place to call home, and that those vulnerabilities, especially for those returning home that have served, is more difficult. And I have been working in the homeless world for 20 plus years now, ensuring that people have access to services and basic needs.
Wow. Well, thank you for doing that. And Nora, what about you? What's your background and what brought you to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, thanks for having us. I am born and raised in South Minneapolis. I'm a licensed social worker, and that's really given me a lot of meaning in this work and a lot of drive through this work. So I have about 6 years experience working in the homelessness response system, mostly with shelter people in crisis. And so that really is what brought me to this work. Minnesota has a big goal in ending veteran homelessness, so I'm really excited to be a part of the team.
And Allie, I would imagine that you have to have a passion for the work that you do, that you're asked to do day in and day out.
Absolutely. You're working with individuals that are in crisis, and our goal is to get them to problem solving and assist them in that journey and make sure that we're walking alongside them to meet what they would like and see as their future in housing stability and sustainability. And it takes a huge collaborative and partnership. It's not just one person doing that work. It is multiple people doing that. And again, making sure that it is the veteran helping guide us through that work and in those decisions we are
having. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point that you made, is where they want to be, right?
Yeah.
'Cause I would imagine that you have a certain part of the client base that you have that they don't need or want as much as someone else does as it relates to stable housing.
Well, and also recognizing, especially within our military community, there is a lot of humility, and so by the time that somebody asks, it's at a level of vulnerability, and we need to be mindful, respectful, and provide that dignity to that veteran and individual in making those decisions. It's not for us to make it for them.
Yeah, extremely important, because then, of course, then that also creates the buy-in, too. I don't think anybody generally likes to be told what to do or have decisions made for them, whereas you can provide some options and opportunities and then lead them to where they want to be. All right, so we're going to take a quick break here, and then I want to talk about some of the factors that you know, that lead to homelessness and the things that you all are trying to do to help prevent that. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk more with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and talk about the initiatives and things they're doing to help end veteran homelessness. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is Allie Keir and Nora Cronin. Both work at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and are senior homeless programs coordinators for the Veterans Stable Housing Initiative programs. So, Nora, I want to start with you. Obviously, in the last segment, it was a shorter segment, but we're just talking about, you know, trying to meet veterans where they're at and help them to solve whatever the problem is or that need is that they want to have help solving or that need that they would like assistance with. But let's talk about, or if you could please talk about some of those factors that, you know, really contribute to or lead to our veterans to experience homelessness.
Yeah, it can be complicated, right? People come from a variety of backgrounds, circumstances. There's a lack of affordable housing for people experiencing homelessness in our communities generally. And, you know, it can be tough to find a job or an income that can sustain housing. Veterans also struggle with mental health issues and physical health challenges that kind of are barriers to being stable in their housing. And substance abuse also plays a factor in why somebody may experience homelessness as well. So what a lot of people experiencing homelessness lack as well is a support network, a circle around them that can pick them up if they've fallen, you know. So veterans may lack that support. And, you know, they may not always have the transferable skills coming from the military into the civilian workforce. They may, you know, not have that that piece that's needed for that stability. So our team, we manage the Homeless Veterans Registry, and we want to share some data that comes from that Homeless Veterans Registry, which is a by-name list of veterans experiencing homelessness within the state. So in 2023, around 560 veterans were experiencing homelessness, and over half of these individuals were living outside. They were unsheltered. So we've made a lot of progress. So in 2023, you know, that 500 number, we have seen that drop in 2024 to about 200, a little more than that, veterans experiencing an active episode of homelessness in Minnesota. So we're really proud of that, but we know that there's a lot of work to be done. So a quarter of these individuals, too, are 62 and above. So that plays a factor in what kind of housing they need, what services, what supports they're looking for. A really unique, you know, cross-sector of the homelessness response community or homelessness community is veterans. So we want to make sure we're filling in the gaps. And Allie will talk a little bit later about some of what we're doing for that. But another piece I want to mention about the homelessness or the Homeless Veterans Registry is that 40% of those individuals on the registry currently are not eligible for VA programs, so federal VA programs, depending on the length of time they served, their discharge, whatever it may be. So our goal is to really fill in the gaps and get those services for these individuals that dedicated their time and service for us.
And so the fact that they're not eligible, those veterans you just talked about, that 40%, they're not eligible for U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs benefits.
Correct. Yeah.
Obviously, that's not restricting your ability to provide assistance.
No. Yeah, and I should mention, too, our team, not every team within the department follows this, but our team has a unique definition of veteran. We, it kind of encapsulates anybody that has served in the military or guard, reserves, no matter how long they served or their type of discharge. So really being inclusive in that and kind of widening the lens to make sure we're covering everybody.
And you know, when the people that you're working with, our veteran population, you mentioned things like drug addiction or PTSD or something like that. Do you find that a lot of the clients, it's multiple things, that not only do they have PTSD, but now they're addicted to drugs because they're using drugs to cope with the PTSD?
Absolutely, yeah. Co-occurring disorders, it definitely plays a factor in how homelessness can be persistent, basically. People can be chronically homeless for years, long-term homeless. That makes it hard for them to stay stable in their housing, even if they do get housed eventually. They really need those wraparound services to really feel supported, safe.
And Allie, I want to talk to you about the programs and services available to the veterans that are experiencing homelessness. But before you talk about those, I'm just wondering if you can tell us, is your primary focus then to find some housing, stable housing or something, and then address PTSD or drug addiction, or how do you tackle that because it's such a complex issue?
So Minnesota is a housing first state, and to be able to begin to either have the person identify and recognize that they might have these co-occurring disorders and want and feel safe to address them, we need to first provide them with housing and a safe place to lay their head. And so with that, we take the perspective that let's get them to housing. Let's have them take a breath, receive that reprieve, and build that community and help them build that community around them, as well as connecting them to either veteran-specific services that they didn't know that they were eligible for, or aware were out there, as well as to the mainstream response system, whether it's the local county services, benefits, faith communities, what will help them and have them help guide us in what will help them to accept and retain the housing.
I think that's the key right there, right? I mean, again, to your point from before, meeting them where they're at, helping them with what it is that they want, but then determining what is their level of, what does success look like to them,
right?
Right? What is going to help them to, I don't want to say live a productive life because that might be too broad or something or too pointed, maybe, depending on how you look at it, but get them stable housing. Let's start there.
Yep, and learn how to build that community to what Nora was speaking to about in regards to those safety networks and support networks and how to build them and trust within those. And we find that many veterans want to know who their fellow veterans are with the same and similar experiences, to have that relationship and trust, and to, as I've heard several times from our veterans through listening circles, is their battle buddy.
Yeah. And is that stable housing then a community of veterans?
Well, it can be. And learning who to connect with that are other veterans that might have same or similar experiences, and who's going to help guide them when there might be a stumble or not sure how to access something or get to a resource that might be needed, including where's the library or where's the closest grocery store.
So we have like a minute or so left in this segment here, and I want to make sure that you talk about some of those other programs. I'm looking at a list of things, and if you can just briefly touch on them, I mean, the SOAR program or VTEMP, you know, what is this stuff?
So SOAR is a federal program, and it's pretty great that we have this within MDVA as an option for our veterans. It is a program that connects the Minnesota Department of Human Services, Department of Veterans Affairs, and the United States Social Security Administration to provide veterans who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness the ability to expand their income and access to Social Security, whether it's Social Security insurance or Social Security disability benefits or even to their Social Security retirement benefits, and helps walk them through the intake to the application to the approval or re-certification process. So just a one-stop shop of a great collaboration between multiple agencies and levels of government to be able to increase that income and those benefits to, again, also maintain housing.
Okay. So what we'll do, Allie, is we'll stop here. We'll take a break. And when we come back, I'll let you talk about VTEP. And then we'll hit the rest of the way. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me still is Allie Keir and Nora Cronin from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Allie, before we went to break there, you're talking about some of the programs that are offered through MDVA. You talked about SOAR and the assistance there. But one of the things that I think is important to talk about is the Veteran Temporary Emergency Housing Assistance Program. Can you briefly describe that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. So homelessness looks different throughout the state of Minnesota, as well as access to shelter or available shelter or shelters being at capacity. And the VTEMP program, or Veteran Temporary Emergency Housing Assistance Program, provides reimbursement to community service providers who are cover the costs of temporary hotel rooms or non-congregate temporary units that a veteran in their household would be able to stay in and be connected to services, become more aware of veteran-specific services such as the Homeless Veteran Registry, to connect to the federal programs with the VA, with Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, also known as MACV, which is a statewide organization working with our veterans who have unstable housing. And although it is a short-term, community service providers is anybody from the faith-based community to the food shelf to the social service provider in that area to your Beyond Yellow Ribbons and VFWs and Legions, that you're first point of contact for our veterans, and they come to you because you are a trusted entity. And if they are willing to share that vulnerability with you, that they are outside and there is no shelter, this would be a great opportunity for any of those organizations to have easy access to gain reimbursement for providing that shelter to that veteran and household, and hopefully reduce the time that they are experiencing homelessness and their time outside.
Thank you. And Nora, I do want to come back to you. You gave some statistics when I was first talking with you about the drop from 500 or so people on the registry in 2023 down to 200. What other update can you provide to us about the homelessness situation and kind of the successes that you all have been having? And we're at about like 2.5 minutes, just so you know, with this segment.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota has a big goal in being the fourth state in our nation to declare a functional end to veteran homelessness. So ending veteran homelessness doesn't necessarily mean in our state that there is no veteran experiencing an episode of homelessness. It just means that we have the systems in place to rapidly house any veteran who is experiencing homelessness. So Minnesota works with the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness, also known as USAGE, to meet the requirements, the benchmarks to reach that declaration. So we're still working in our two most populous continuums of care, Hennepin and Ramsey. Our other 85 out of the 87 counties within the state have already declared a functional end to veteran homelessness. We're just waiting on these last two. So we are very excited. We're working hard, and we can't do this work without our partnerships, our collaborations. Allie had mentioned earlier our work with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. They have been a great asset to our state in bringing online rental units that prioritize chronic and long-term homeless veterans. And, of course, we can't do the work without the federal VA, too. They prioritize, identify veterans eligible for what's called HUD-VASH or similar to Section 8 for veterans, that's a key pathway out of homelessness.
Just a ton of stuff going on. And
absolutely.
Allie, in this last minute, tell us, what can listeners do today that are, you know, listening to the program, what can they do to help?
You know, there's a lot of different things that are out there. The biggest thing is if you know a veteran who is struggling with housing instability, to reach out to LinkVet, and that can either be done via the internet at linkvet.org or calling them at 888-LINKVET, which is 546-5838, or reach out to MACV at 833-2222. And also there is the National VA hotline, which is 877-424-3838. And again, just remember, we all have different times that we need supports, and we should always remember to support our veterans out there with housing instability.
Yeah, Allie, Nora, thank you guys for coming into the studio, spending time with us on Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for the great work you're doing to help support our veterans. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, before we meet our final guest, it is time for the Commissioner's Corner. This is a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers a Veterans Relief Grant that provides a once-per-lifetime grant to help veterans and dependents stabilize their lives in a time of hardship. Assistance can be requested for a number of things. A few include rent, mortgage, utility bills, medical bills, home repairs, auto repairs, and much more. Financial assistance is paid directly to the creditor or vendor providing the service, and applications are reviewed on a case-by-case basis. Contact your County Veterans Service Officer for more information or assistance in applying for the Veterans Relief Grant. Find your CVSO by calling 1-888-LINK-VET, MDVA's one-stop customer service line for Minnesota veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In the studio with me is John Boyd. John served in the Minnesota Army National Guard, retired at the rank of Sergeant First Class. John now serves as the commander of Chapter 48-4, Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota in Hastings, Minnesota. John, thanks for military service and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. In the organization, they actually call me Hobbit.
Oh, Hobbit.
So we have
to change that here, right?
So, yeah, we have our own road names.
Okay.
Generally, it's given to you by somebody who has a sometimes an affection, sometimes not. And they usually pick something about you, your personality, or whatever. So they call me Hobbit, apparently, because I'm, I don't know, maybe because I'm short and I have hairy feet or something.
Well, I have seen your feet, and they're definitely pretty hairy. It's interesting that you tell that story because my brother is actually also a member of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, and I was asking him about his name on there, and he said, yeah, you can't go more than one meeting without having
yes.
a name selected. Otherwise, they will choose one for you.
Oh, yes.
And once they choose it for you, you're pretty much stuck.
And you may not like it.
And you may not like it.
That's correct.
So he ended up with Old Bald One, I think it is, which was a nickname we used to call our father all the time. And if you put the two of them right next to each other, you would see the resemblance. Both bald and old. But anyway, we've got like maybe 2 minutes or so in this segment. And what I'd like to do is just get to know you a little bit. Obviously, I personally know you. We serve together, but our audience, tell us a little bit about your military history and kind of what your upbringing was.
Yeah, sure. So I actually got in back in 98, and I got in military police. I have to admit here because this is an intimate group here, and I think we're all friends, that I kind of lied to my mom about my going into the service. She didn't want me to join at 17. So I said, I'm just going in to get a physical. And so she signed off on that. And then I came back, and I'd already enlisted. So sorry, Mom. But yeah, I joined the military in 98 as a military police soldier, and did that for a couple of years. Went into field artillery right after that, and then did a couple of years in that, did a couple of years in intelligence. Then I went into computers, and then I ended my career in air defense. So I don't know if I ever knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, but That's where I ended up ending it right there, is air defense.
Yeah, well, you kind of joined the club, a lot of us, and some of us are still discovering.
Fair.
Yeah, right. But you at least did find the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota, and we certainly want to hear all about that. But how many total years did you say you served in the Minnesota National Guard?
Yes, sir, 24. Yeah, 24 wonderful years.
And with the 34th Infantry Division.
Yeah, yeah, all of it.
Talk to us about your deployment.
Sure. Yeah, we went on a few, actually. I went into Bosnia in 03. Then I went on the division deployment in 09 and 10. And then ended my career in Kuwait. Let's see, it was 2018.
Okay.
Over in Erif Jan.
So you've got three combat deployments under your belt, and or three deployments under your belt, and a lot of years of service. You've done some great things. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, really get into what that is and what it does, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Hobbit. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is John Boyd, also known as Hobbit. He's the commander of the Chapter 48 for Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota down in Hastings. So, Hobbit, boy, that's kind of weird to get used to, but I suppose, you know, you've gotten used to it over the years because you've been involved with the association for a number of years, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, actually. And, it's funny when you start to... You know, people that you've seen in the military, you know, used to calling him, you know, in your case, calling you Sergeant Major, and then, you know, now just calling you old Doug, you know, it takes a little bit to get used to. But yeah, I've been called way worse, though.
I think you can go by first names when you've retired, especially if the person has grown their hair a little bit longer or at least outside of the standards and they've started to have some facial hair.
Yes.
Because then all
I've given up.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I wouldn't say we've given up, but at least... Shaving every day. We've given up on that.
I don't know. My waistline says I've given up. But
yeah, I feel it as well. We all could afford to lose a little bit there. But we're not here to talk about each other's waistline, facial hair, or length of hair on our head. We're here to talk about the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota. I'm going to make an assumption here, which I know is always bad to do, but I'm going to. In the name, it says Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association of Minnesota. So does that mean that you must be a combat veteran in order to be a member of this association?
And ride a motorcycle.
And you have to ride a motorcycle.
Yes. Yeah, it's very cryptic. So the membership criteria are we ride motorcycles, you own and operate a motorcycle of 500 cc's or greater, and you are a combat veteran. So that's what it takes to be part of our association.
Now, is there a specific type of motorcycle that's a requirement, other than maybe two wheels, or is that not even a requirement?
Well, no, we do have trikes. No, okay. We do have trikes because, I mean, we realize that at some point I'm going to get there too, that I won't be able to do two wheels anymore. And we have many, many members that can't do two wheels anymore. So trikes are perfectly okay. Spiders, kind of frowned on. If you ride a sports bike or something like that, also you're probably going to be riding in the back. But yeah. For the most part, it's Harleys, Indians, Victories.
Yeah. So it's that traditional,
yes.
When you think about a motorcycle club, you're not thinking about a crotch rocket.
There, right.
Generally, the first thing that comes to your mind is a Harley-Davidson.
We have a few of those, so yes.
Yeah. Now, are loud pipes a mandatory requirement?
They are highly encouraged.
Highly encouraged.
Mostly because most of us have VA ratings for our hearing anyways, so we just need something to hear we need to hear the rumble to make sure it's working.
That's extremely important. I can understand that. All right, so you've already described the requirements about what it is, right, or the requirements become a member. Why or what really makes the organization, the association, unique other than it's combat veterans who ride motorcycles?
So we're not all that dissimilar from many other veteran organizations, your American Legions, VFWs, except the fact that our mandate is a little more focused. Obviously, the motorcycle thing is a big part, so we go out and we ride. But being an association, being in our group, that is part of, I guess, that's part of the service that we provide some of our veterans, is just by being there for them. It gives them a space to do that. And because we're going out on rides, we're doing our wind therapy is what we call when we go out on rides, you know, that provides that space to be able to start to get to know some of these folks. We call them brothers and sisters, just like we were when we were in the service. So it's a lot more of a intimate type relationship that you have in the CVMA because you get to know these people. You get to know their personal lives. You see their families. We encourage bringing families in my own chapter. You know, we have kids often. My daughter will be over there. You know, I have to call her out of order, which is very awkward when she's talking and she's not supposed to be. So,
wait, you run this like a military organization too? I mean, like, do you have a formation? And
oh, absolutely. Uniform inspection. Are you kidding? No way.
Now, interesting fact, you were telling me that you're the commander of 48-4, and one of your members is actually Lieutenant General John Jensen.
Yes. I am his commander.
You are his commander. And that has just got to be an awkward thing.
Well, he's been a longtime friend and mentor. He's a great guy. And I know that you know him quite well as well. But we did remind him of that, myself and my predecessor commander, when we were at the at our Nationals event that was down in Rochester last month. We did remind him that he, even though he is a 3-star, he still reports to us.
Yeah. I bet you he took that right in stride as well.
Absolutely.
And had some comment to come back at you with. But that's why we love him, because he's very personable.
Indeed.
And good to have him as part of this organization.
And he is just one example, though an exemplary example. He is one of them. But we have how many of them? We've got CVSOs, finance people. We've got construction, tradespeople. We've got all these different types of life experiences, not just in the civilian world, but also their military backgrounds. You know, we don't have any Space Force folks yet. So I don't know if, like, we're going to do, like, George Jetson, if we're going to adjust the bylaws to allow for, like, you know, hovercraft or something.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful, you know, when you start making too many exceptions, you know, that becomes the norm.
Yeah, we do.
But I have to imagine, you know, to have the membership that you have and the types of members you have, you know, not just a General Jensen, but all gamuts of people who have served, and to get together and have that camaraderie. And as you said before, you know, it's getting together, having some windshield or wind therapy to get people out of their shell too, because we know the worst thing that someone can do that's suffering with PTSD in particular, right, where they're just shutting down is to be alone. Mm-hmm. And you got to get them around other people who have maybe lived through some of the same experiences, and maybe they're further along in how they deal with it, so that you can help bring that person along with you and talk about the things, because I think talking is extremely important.
Absolutely. And that's where it's kind of nice to be in this organization, because you have moments of opportunity to be able to talk. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I mean, you can, whether it be through meetings or if we're going on a ride, we stop at a break stop, you know, you kind of just chit chat.
Yeah.
And then you get back on your bike and you can kind of be alone with others. Right?
Yeah, so you
can just, you're still surrounded by your brothers and sisters while you're riding, but you're still kind of in your own element, and you're still participating without having to do really anything other than stay in a straight line and don't crash into the guy in front of you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just pay attention to the road and just absorb the free therapy of the wind and camaraderie. So we only have just a couple of minutes, and I want to talk about some of the events and things that you do, right? You said you're just like a lot of the other veteran service organizations, but there are probably very specific things that you do, different events, ways in which you raise money, because you are a not-for-profit organization. So talk to us about that.
Sure. So the national organization is 501c19. All of our chapters are nonprofits. So whether they're C-19s or C-3s, my chapter in particular is a C-3. And a lot of the events that we put on are ride-related. So Ride to Remember is one of those. Mm-hmm. Armed Forces Ride is another one of those. The I Got Your Six Ride actually is its own nonprofit now. It used to be a ride that our chapter out of Coon Rapids, 48-1, that they used to put on. And it was just something that their chapter would do every year. But they found it was actually easier to just make it. It got so big, and they made it its own nonprofit. So it's its own 501c3 that will go every year and go out and ride in those. And, you know, the funds that are generated from that go to other veterans organizations. For example, my chapter, we tend to donate a lot of our time, energy, and money to the Hastings Veterans Home. And actually go play bingo with them. I just played bingo with them Wednesday.
Are you a bingo caller at all, or do you just get a card?
Oh, no. I usually hand out the money, which they like. But we do have a couple bingo callers that some are better than others.
Yeah.
Some go too fast. And then these guys, they will let you know. The bingo is a big deal.
Yeah, and you got to be clear. You got to enunciate, right? Pronounce properly.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've got this mush mouth over here. Yeah. I couldn't call.
So I've got we've got 1 minute. And tell me, what do you think is the biggest impact CVMA has had?
Well, and I kind of touched on it in the beginning, is it's really just us being there for them, seeing that there's other people that have the same interests as they do, that are wanting to go out and willing to help. Like, we're all gathering for the sole purpose of helping other veterans, being veterans ourselves. And that provides that equal footing, that equal experience that you just don't get in a civilian world. Being in the military is a very unique and countercultural experience that you can't get when you come into the civilian world. So to have a place where you can experience that and feel that and know that the people to your left and right, especially in a Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, you know that you all have combat experience. You've all been there. You've seen those things. And it really tears that wall down between you and everyone else, that presumptive wall that we put up, saying, oh, this guy couldn't possibly understand me because even though he was in the service, he wasn't combat. He doesn't know what that's like.
But where can someone go to get more information?
Well, we can go to combatvets.us. That's our national site. My chapter site is cvma48-4.org.
Awesome. Hey, Hobbit, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks,
I appreciate
brother.
It. Yeah, you bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week when we have a special call-in from the Wheelchair Games in New Orleans and hear about the YMCA of the North. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.